So Heroes 3 serves as a prequel to Might and Magic 7 for Blood and Honor.
Which we
played. And of course is a sequel to Heroes 2.
We played 8. Did we play 8 or 7?
Oh, gosh. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 223, and it has been one crazy week in the world.
What do you mean?
It has.
Mine's been normal. What's wrong?
Just this game has been so it's insane.
Only been this game. Yeah. For those that are listening back to this episode at a later time, we are currently in the middle of the coronavirus epidemic of 2020, where everything is shutting down, and for some reason people are hoarding, of all things, toilet paper.
Toilet paper. Yeah, it makes no sense.
I've seen videos of lines of hundreds and hundreds of people waiting at Costco.
Of like 30 stacks. Like a giant amount of toilet paper.
Out of all things to hoard during this time, like if you get this, you're going to get a runny nose and you need tissue if anything, but you're probably not going to get this. And what do they think? Do they think everything's shutting down and we won't be able to go do anything?
Right.
Yes.
It's so confusing. I think people are actually preparing for a real apocalypse, but have no idea what they're doing.
So toilet paper.
And so they're just worried about...
Not water. Toilet paper.
The awkward situation of Kenny, running out. But even that wouldn't be a big deal.
Do you have a shower head that you're able to kind of detach from the wall?
Wait. No.
Okay, that's...
You have a bidet? We don't have to...
I don't have a bidet, but I have like 57 solutions. If I were to run out of toilet paper in a situation where I couldn't get any,
I got 10 solutions.
That wouldn't affect me adversely at all.
Listen, for the record...
Food? Fresh water?
No.
All right, Nolan, for the record.
For the record, this is...
Yes.
We think it's very serious.
Yes.
And people are sick and people have died and it's very sad and serious. But people panicking over their butts...
Yes.
...is not okay. It makes people freak out more than they should. Our lives should be able to go on with precaution, but go on. Like, I'm not buying into the world is ending. I don't think it is.
The world's not ending. There will be plenty of toilet paper rolls. It is a serious thing. We want to be cautious and careful, not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones, both younger than us and much older than us. But because of this, a lot of things are changing. I know that... are you guys working from home this week?
Yes.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks at least.
Yeah, the next couple of weeks.
So I'm not. Due to the nature of my job, I'll be at work tomorrow. In fact, we're making lunches for kids in our community so that they can come by and get lunches because they would typically get them at school and they aren't going to be. Don't look at me like that. That's a good thing, not a bad thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, Nolan.
You better wash your fingers. You better wash those 10 solutions.
Well, we're going to wear gloves and all of that. But whether or not you're working from home or not, I know that even like this is affecting sports and even podcasts. I'm in podcast groups and I was listening to them. Like some are based on the baseball game that's playing each day.
Oh, wow.
Week.
Yeah.
Thankfully, our podcast is about something that happened 15 years ago or more.
Hey, so we prepared for this very well. We designed this podcast for this to happen.
We're good. The only thing that is kind of affecting us as podcast gamers is that E3 for the first time ever has been canceled and other things like that. But still, they're going to try to do an online experience so that we know about the games that are coming out. So that's good.
Oh, I didn't know they were doing that. That's good.
We do hope that all of you listeners are staying safe. You're surviving and thriving. And if nothing else, take this time to bunker down at your house, self-quarantine in your own personal fortress or dungeon or castle, tower, rampart, stronghold, whatever you call it, and protect yourself from this inferno of a situation so that you don't end up infected and dead in a necropolis.
Yeah, okay.
Like in our ritual game of the week, Might and Magic 3.
Overview.
Heroes of Might and Magic 3.
Oh,
there's
wow.
a very important distinction.
Get on.
Heroes of Might and Magic 3.
What, Might and Magic 3 is also a game, and it's a totally different game.
It is?
It is.
Thank you for the correction, Kenny. It is Heroes of Might and Magic 3. I knew that. I don't know why I didn't write it correctly right there in my notes, but this is a 1999 turn-based strategy PC title developed by New World Computing and published by 3DO. And there are many different titles, speaking of the title, to the game. There's one title, but there's many different things that this game is called. So the formal title is Heroes of Might and Magic 3, The Restoration of Erathia, which we're not going to call it, and we're not going to post it with that title because that's far too long and that's not okay.
Yeah, no.
The game is also called Heroes 3. I prefer that. Or Heroes of Might and Magic 3, but or we've even called it Heroes of Might and Magic 3 something about Urethra.
That's the best title.
That's the main one.
That's the one to use.
Heroes games are connected to the mainline series of Might and Magic. Kenny didn't know for sure last week, but now he knows more that's connected.
I know
Kenny?
Absolutely that it's more connected. I hadn't realized that. I had played both games and didn't realize that they were same developer publisher, and now I know.
All right, I'm worried.
Why?
Why?
Because, not because of you, Kenny, but because I'm watching Nolan's face, and I'm sincerely concerned that something devastating happened this week, not only with coronavirus, but with Nolan's experience with this game.
It's fine. I think it's fine.
You think it's fine?
It's not my fault. What's Might and Magic?
That's not your fault!
What's Might and Magic?
Might and Magic is the RPG series by the same people.
Okay.
But not the turn-based strategy version of games.
Right. Okay. Then I think I'm good.
Oh my gosh, he still doesn't know.
That's dumb to put Heroes in front of a name and that's a different game.
Right. I mean, that is tough. That is but not the best idea.
In fairness, it's the same world, the same lore.
You still can't do Might and Magic 3 and Heroes of Might and Magic 3 as two totally different games.
And have like 30 different titles for the same games and have 50 games in the series.
It's a title with a subtitle. That's not
this one's a sequel to this one. This one's a prequel to this one, but they're in a different order.
Exactly. So Heroes 3 serves as a prequel to Might and Magic 7 for Blood and Honor.
Which we
played. And of course is a sequel to Heroes 2.
We played 8. Did we play 8 or 7?
I don't know.
We played 7.
We played the sequel to the, we played the prequel to this game this week?
No, we played the follow-up.
Love that this is happening right now.
Yeah.
It's demonstrating my anger.
Heroes 3 is also a sequel to Heroes 2, Heroes of Might and Magic 2, and a prequel to Heroes of Might and Magic 4. You're following along, dear listener at home, so.
They've turned it off a long time ago.
This game has three different primary modes. Other than its tutorial, it's got single scenario, multiplayer, and campaign. So multiplayer, the second one that I just mentioned, in 99 is big because not every game was doing multiplayer at this time. It was couch co-op for the most part, at least on consoles. When it comes to PC, there is other games, of course, doing multiplayer here, but this is one of the earlier adopters. And I'm going to share the story because from what I gather, Heroes 3 focuses much more on story than on previous games in the series.
It gives a lot of story throughout. It is real-time strategy, so it's not like it's heavy story, but it injects it into a world and it gives you cutscenes at the beginning and like you do this whole campaign that is story. So by all means, let us know what's going on.
The king of Erathia has been assassinated. Moment of silence. And in that power
that
vacuum.
That was the shortest moment of silence.
Yeah, he was a terrible king.
You just disrespected the king so hard.
Tom can put a moment of silence in post.
Crickets
it's fine.
Cricket noise effect.
No.
In that power vacuum, the dark forces of Nihon and Eoful sweep in. Eoful. It's fantasy, okay? Your first mission is given to you by the king's daughter, who is now the queen of the nation, and she wants you to return to the land and vanquish the evil that has ravaged the nation.
Boring.
And Kenny is going to judge Nolan and myself all throughout this episode because he is a Might and Magic fanatic, apparently. Or he probably doesn't know anything about Might and Magic, but does know too much about heroes because he is this PC mid to late 90s strategy guy that can sit down and play 17-hour games and be okay.
And well, not only Kenny, this Heroes of Might and Magic is like the favorite for the fan base, I think. Like right. Really big, like big time. So it's not just Kenny I'm worried about. There's an entire fan base that would be very upset.
It's true. I have a rabid community on my side. I guess we haven't gotten far enough in to even know if there's sides here. You're making an awful lot of assumptions.
Well, I think he's hinting at typically Dustin and myself, we don't love this genre, or it's a little hard to get into, especially when it's like high fantasy.
One thing I know for sure, everyone's about to find out.
Gameplay.
So like a lot of these strategy games, the ones that Kenny always gets us to play and beats us really bad and it's not fun for anyone, you choose from a set of factions and different groups of armies, and they each have their own theme and their own style and their own
advantages, disadvantages, units, everything.
Yeah, so I've always been a fan of that, and in this game you have
eight that you can primarily choose from. I think you can probably choose, it probably unlocks a ninth at a later time after doing something, but you start with eight different factions. In this game, they're called towns,
yeah.
And you can choose, they range from like castle, which is your standard medieval human fare, to necropolis, which is home to undead skeletons and zombies. And each one has a different town with different buildings that you can construct and different units and armies and everything like that.
Yeah.
You sound confused, but you described that really well.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that, Kenny.
I actually really like the whole idea of like a town base thing in these kinds of games. Like you invest in it, that's where you like make purchases and recruit to your army and stuff. It actually feels like a safe base, like your hometown. Yeah. And I think they did that extremely well. I messed around with a couple of factions just to get like a different feel for what they looked like. And I was impressed at how like distinct each one felt. And
Kenny,
I kind of had a bias against it.
Kenny, realistically, how many hours did you put into this game this week? Just estimate.
I don't know.
And maybe it's not as many as...
Yeah, not nearly as many as you think.
Interesting.
Just because I didn't have that much free time, but I 100% will probably put more hours into this game after this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you playing on a different monitor right now?
No, but that's a great idea.
No, it's not. It's a bad idea. There are three main things that you're doing in this game. And by the way, let me preface with this. This is most certainly one of those games that we can get bogged down in the weeds and that is not fun to listen to. It might be fun to argue about like the different mechanics, but we can't because that is so boring to listen to.
You don't want
to
talk about each artifact that you could possibly find and like, advantages and disadvantages to their stats and your hero.
I think we give the basic premise and then we just talk about our experience because again, there's so many layers here. This is one of those games where when you purchase the game, you have to read through the manual first because the game doesn't do much explaining. I even did the tutorial first and it doesn't do much explaining.
Can we talk about that tutorial? Because
yes, please.
This is the single worst thing about this game. You bring up the tutorial and it loads up a game and then there's a pop-up screen that immediately says, thanks for playing the tutorial. Here's what we'd like you to do. Go print off this document so that you have an actual tutorial guide to follow along with and then play through this scenario. It literally asks you to like print the hard copy of the tutorial and then it assumes that you did.
Oh, yeah.
So there's
because it's not giving you pop-ups.
There's no actual information about what does what, about how to move your hero, about how to build a town, anything. You either have to sort of trial and error your way through it, clicking around a lot, or you have to have, in our case, like gone online and found a guide or actually downloaded this manual. And that just totally gives you that 1999 mindset. Like, oh, yeah, everybody's got a laser printer or a bubble jet printer at home in color. But not everybody's got internet.
It's so important to have a solid tutorial. And that right there, what you just explained, started me off on the wrong foot immediately.
Yeah.
Because, like, I get it. It's aged. Like, it's an older game, and the manuals were like that back then. But and I have internet now, so, and I guess you did then, too. But, like, I could easily reference stuff if I needed to. But even doing that, like, I'm just staring at the screen, and I'm like, super overwhelmed with the HUD. Like, there's one on the side, one on the bottom, and I'm just like, I don't know what you want me to do.
No. Yeah, they could have simplified interfaces a lot as well. That's another, like, late 90s, especially for this kind of game where you can get into the weeds and manage details of your hero and armies and towns and position and resources and all the different things. It's an easy trap for those kinds of games to fall into, but there are buttons everywhere.
That being said, it really comes down to a simplistic three things that you're doing. It's simplistic in that it's just three things, but then there's layers upon layers. You are, if I'm correct, I think I was able to narrow it down to three in my mind. You are exploring, you are building your towns and units, that's one, and then you are fighting. Those are the three main things that you're doing: exploration, building up towns and units, and fighting. That being said, those are complex, layered, and hidden behind menu after menu after menu and walls of text. And here's the thing. I think the thing that is probably most simplistic out of all of those to understand, is exploration. I was going to say fighting, but exploration, because you are in this overworld map and you click and your unit, you've got your one unit, your hero. Is that what it's called in this? Probably.
Yeah, heroes, it's your hero.
Is moving from point A to point B, and they have a certain distance they can move on any given turn. And during that time, you can move them to any kind of landmark or into any kind of battle or back home to your town as well. You just move around the overworld map.
You're right. That sounds super simplistic. But even where you're moving around the overworld map, there's sort of thought and strategy involved because you have goals there. You're collecting items that actually kind of in an RPG style upgrade your hero or your army and their stats. You're fighting against other armies, but you're trying to be strategic about which ones you fight so that your army doesn't take too many losses, but that you get experience and can develop. You're choosing which actual like resource generators are worth finding and how quickly, and
I think you're giving us too much credit. There was no strategy. It was click and go in a certain direction and try to grab everything.
Mostly you just run from objective to objective and do all the things.
It's games like these that make me feel like my older brother let me play one of his games, and I just want to feel like I'm playing and I'm cool. So I'm just like clicking around.
It's games like these that I just want Kenny to stream, and just I want to lay in bed and watch him play and geek out about and really go deep into.
That's a wonderful idea.
This is the kind of game that is very hard for people that did not grow up playing these games. Because I grew up with them, and I even played a few of them, but like the light versions. So like Age of Empires 2 is about as deep into this kind of realm that I went.
Yeah, like Age of Empires 2 isn't heavy. It's a totally different kind of game and tons of complexity, but whatever.
I don't know about
whatever.
It's a fruit salad. We're allowed to do a little bit of apples to oranges comparison.
So that's exploration. And if you heard there, it is turn-based, not even the battles, but the game, like Civilization, right? Kenny,
yeah,
like,
you have days.
It's days. And so you can move a certain distance in a day. So in a day, you can move your heroes a certain distance and you can upgrade your town. Those are, I think that's the two primary things that you can do during that time. And you can do that with each day. And you usually start with a single hero. You can purchase new heroes back in your town and you move them along the map. That's exploration. The second big category there is building your towns and units, which I'm not going to talk about.
Well, the resource management is a little overwhelming. That's the other portion. So in exploring this game, you gain resources and then you use those resources to recruit and to purchase things, but it's broken down into what, like a lot of the typical, like not Civilization, but that board game that y'all like, Settlers or something.
I don't like it.
I don't know. You have like,
but
wood,
you're talking about like wood,
it's a great
and
board game,
sheep.
But yeah,
and
it has nothing to do with it.
Wood,
oh
and
my
sheep,
gosh.
Man.
Hey, who's salty here? So you're collecting all these things and gold, of course, and it costs money to recruit these things. But like, I need some sort of like build or guide in order to know, like, okay, I need to purchase these units that are just dudes literally carrying a rock that they throw at people, or if I should invest in this whatever flying bird thing.
And it's not only units, but it's you're using those same
buildings.
Resources to purchase buildings. And I hope both of you realized, I don't know if Kenny in your first play you did, but you can right click on any kind of, I don't know, graphical image in your menus, and it kind of gives you some kind of idea of what that thing is about. And so I did that often, but yeah, to know what building to build, because there's probably, like, depending on what town you're in, 8 to 12 different buildings, and then they can be upgraded back at your town. And then with units, I think there's 5 or 6 starting units for each of the 8 towns, but then they all can be upgraded. Overall, I think there's well over 100 different units in this game, military units.
And
a lot of options.
And they all look different and unique, like really different. And that kind of threw me off too. Usually you start with like a really bad recruit, and then maybe you can upgrade them to a knight or a soldier, and then they become like a mounted unit or something. But in this one, I don't know if y'all looked at the like undead town, like the demon, whatever.
Necropolis?
Yeah, the Necropolis. They have like really weird looking and recruits, and they're really expensive. And I was just like, Kenny, please show me how to play this game. I would get my butt kicked because I don't know any of these things. But then you get into battle and you're like, here we go. So the battle.
So let's talk about fighting then, because that's the third and major pillar of this game.
Yeah. So it's turn based. Obviously, your units are on the left side of the screen and your enemies on the right. And you have it's like tiles, but it's hexagons,
which is the only thing that actually has any overlap with Settlers of Catan.
What, the hexagon shape? Hexagons.
I think it's the So Catan was built off of heroes.
There's wood.
Yeah, there is.
You're right.
Wood.
Anything that has the word wood in it is basically Settlers of Catan.
Thank you. So that indicates how, like, movement, and that's how many tiles you would move, and each unit has a different movement range or whatever. And you basically just choose the attacks that you want to do, and it makes it clear what units, what their attack and stuff is. But then, like, there's this idea in the game called stacks and stacking. And I don't
stacks
know it well enough
stacks
to explain
on
it.
Stacks.
Okay, let me try.
I can't
Kenny,
explain
you can
it to
correct.
You, I don't know.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Kenny. All right. So stacks. So you not only have the units, but you stack them on top of each other. So you might have one archer on the screen, but the archer has a number under it. Well, that number can be anything from 1 to multiple thousands. You can get thousands and thousands in a single stack. And is what it does then is that that's how many of those archers are there. And so it multiplies whatever the archer base stats are by how many units you have in that stack to give you how much damage you end up doing.
Okay, so
or defense
in pleb terms,
okay,
Civilization would indicate a group of archers as several of them. And if they take some damage, you lose a couple, and then that number goes down. So that's a stack.
Yeah, you use just a couple, right. You lose a couple of archers from your stack. Is that right, Kenny?
Yeah.
As far as you know?
As far as I know.
He doesn't know, see?
That's how it seems to play. I mean, I don't know the mechanics of, like,
you didn't read
exactly
the
if it's a multiplier. I don't know that it actually is. Otherwise, it is, the only thing that would matter is just
a million units.
Right, is just having... And I don't know that that's necessarily the case. It might be a raw multiplier. But regardless, as it gets bigger, you do more damage. You have more lives to
take.
Sounds
like multiplication to me.
Right, it's multiples of the same unit. And yes, as you de-stack someone's stack, as you attack them and take away some of their army, like kill some of their units, then that stack of units you're fighting against gets weaker. And so... I do like that. I like when, as you battle, that there's sort of, I don't know, kind of casualties. You know, it's not like full strength units until they're dead. That always felt kind of realistic to me.
What was your... Okay, so that was the nitty-gritty. I think we move away from the nitty-gritty now into, like, what was your meta strategy here? Like, not on how... When you came into the game, what did you do? Did you play a single scenario? Did you go into campaign? What was your strategy here, and what was your thought behind
it? Yeah, I spent most of this week playing, like, the story mode, like the campaign mode.
The campaign. Yeah. So you started, and which is good, because if not, you might be getting into... So we all played the GOG version, which is the complete version, which just is standard game plus the expansion packs. And so we were able to play base restoration of Urethra, and I think, is that what you started on? Is that the mission? Okay, that's where I started as well. Nolan?
Yeah, campaign. Because I thought that was the most vanilla thing.
He went multiplayer.
It sounded like he jumped straight into multiplayer.
No,
lost a whole bunch and was salty.
No.
And how did you do? Did you have to just figure your way through it?
I did bad. I don't know what to say. I did the tutorial thing and quit the tutorial. I quit. Yeah,
that's always a good sign that a game's going to go well.
I quit the tutorial thinking, I don't know, I don't need this because I don't understand it. And then I got put in a real game and it's the same thing. So I realized very quickly that not knowing quite a bit about the game causes you to not have fun. So it went really poorly for me. I did not get far. I tried out the other mode. What's it called? Single scenario, one shot. Same thing. It's not that different. So...
Kenny, what is, and how did you do?
I also didn't do nearly as well as I would have liked to. I played a lot of campaign, and I found I was making some pretty poor and ballsy choices about, like,
what faction did you
win to fight and against what. I did the Restoration of Arathia campaign initially, or
so that
primarily,
starts with.
And so that's the castle.
Castle,
yeah, that's castle one.
So it's kind of a standard one. And I would do really well until I would just, like, see an enemy castle and be like, it's a castle and they've got a pretty big army, but I've got tactics on my side. I can take my army that's not nearly as good as theirs and just outplay them. And then I would attack them and get decimated and get really salty and start over.
That's not loved it.
Started with tutorial, and I also quit the tutorial. And then I pulled
up. Neither of you found the grail?
No. And then I pulled up a YouTube guide. What I ended up finding was this girl that is playing, did a kind of a let's play. So I started watching her, and she went through the tutorial and kind of explained it as she went along. So that was nice. And then she went into the main campaign as well. So I learned kind of the basics pretty quickly by watching her do that and was able to replicate them in my own way than playing the campaign. And I did pretty well again until I got into some bigger fights that completely wrecked me. I was losing a battle, so I had a guy flee from battle or run away as an option, and that hero was gone. He never came back.
He ran away forever.
He ran away completely. And so it was... it was tough, but at least I understood the premise of the exploration, building up my town. I just didn't know what was optimal strategy. I didn't know what to build or how many units I needed. I could get the exploration part down with different, with multiple heroes on my team, and I could build up their squads a little bit, but I never could make sense of what was good strategy here or how to actually accomplish the goal that was given to me.
I wonder what a typical playtime is for this game, like a campaign, like how long would someone invest in a town and beat it? Because to me, it seems like a really long civilization campaign, way longer than one.
Civilization gets long.
Yeah, you're way underestimating how long a civilization game can be.
I lose civilization pretty early, so that's
like
why.
Majorly. Yeah, but I mean, both can be long. Like, I'm gonna absolutely say that I have wasted more hours of my life playing Civilization. But you sink in on this. And Dustin, I think you're right. You don't learn it super quickly. I don't feel like I mastered the game this week and didn't remember enough from the little bit I'd played, you know, years ago as a child to have any sort of real advantage outside of knowing what we were getting into. But I don't know. I feel like that failing and learning and it being a difficult game can be a good thing.
It can be, but this is one of those that has... Yeah, it can, absolutely. But it's got a massive learning curve. And it's one of those that you can't just play an hour and get the basics. You've got to put in a lot more time than that.
Also, what story are y'all talking about? You said this one goes into story a lot. I mean, I know there's like a cutscene, but like once you're in the game.
It still does. It's got these pop-ups that come up and
I didn't
says
read those.
Kind of Well, it says what's happening in the world and okay. What, like someone has sent you,
you gotta,
new things or found new things.
You got to download the story and print it.
No, and read it.
And then read it along at the same time as the rest of the game. No, that's not true. But that tutorial's awful.
Aged. Just mentioned it. It's worth saying again. The learning curve with these 90s PC titles is incredibly steep.
But not and all of them.
It's not as bad on this one as some.
Okay, yes, so it is.
I don't think so.
It might not be as bad as... Didn't we play a game, I don't know, 10, 15 games ago where there's a 60-page manual or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, this gave me those vibes. We did, and I forgot what it's called because it sucked.
It was on a it was console turn-based strategy.
It was a Dreamcast, right? Or something weird
like that? Something
like that.
Come on, Kenny.
Was that the kind of Ogre Battle style one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what it looked like aesthetically. Yeah. But it reminded me of that where you need a large manual and you need to read it all in this game.
A tome.
A tome, if you will.
A tome, if you will. I like 90s PC games in general, fine. Like, but turn-based, like the ones that look like this. I don't even know if like turn-based is a good term because there are some of those that I can find easy to get into. Like they exist. But
not many.
The ones that look like this one, high fantasy, 30 menus to look at. You have to look at like 30 different windows and they all look different. And they're all speaking a different language.
Kenny's just silently laughing at us the whole time. That doesn't translate to podcast.
I know I am. I don't want to be too contentious and tell you guys that you're completely wrong. But
no, I want you to because
game,
I need to know.
Okay, it's not. Yes, there's a little bit of learning curve, and yes, the tutorial is absolute trash. But there's no excuse for that these days. You can go look it online. You can watch some girl play the game for
though.
You, Dustin, if you want.
I
and
tried.
You can learn it really quickly. The tactics in the battles aren't actually that confusing, but still kind of rewarding. Like you want to. Own choke points and focus your fire and protect your
What's
strongest characters. Like it's basic stuff. It's not like we're asking you to memorize encyclopedias here, guys.
We got it. You went to Oxford.
Listen,
way smarter than we are.
I don't know if I fall on either one of your sides. Kenny's making it sound far too easy, and Nolan's making it sound. I'm closer to Nolan's side.
Yeah, you are.
Because it does start where Nolan is, but I did a little bit of the grunt work to be able to get more away from him. Nolan was not willing to do the grunt work.
I'm not willing. That's the problem. That's a personal problem, I know. That's not like necessarily the game's fault. But like Dustin, I think you even know what I'm talking about. Like, I know I'm being a little more harsh, but like, but you know, it's not this, worth it. That's the problem. It's really, not worth
this,
it.
This really is our ages. Nolan is a Fortnite boy.
Not
a Fortnite boy, but he is of the Fortnite generation.
I'm not a Gen Zer. I'm a millennial. We're all millennials.
Listen, Kenny is in a totally different age rank than us. He's still being silent. By the way, if you could watch this as a video, you would see Kenny's interaction is a lot more than what you hear.
He's just laughing at us.
I mean,
what do you mean?
I don't know what generation I belong to. That's okay. All I'm
millennial.
And we might barely be all millennials, but we're at very different spectrums of the millennial.
Don't mention
curve.
Fortnite in the same breath, bro.
Here's the thing. Let's just the graphics of the units and the overworld
are
look
great.
Good.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Yeah. I'd agree.
But there are just way too many menus. We've reading every word in all of the menus will achieve your reading goal of 2020.
Goodreads?
Not your
Heroes
reading
Heroes 3
goal.
On Goodreads? It
Most
was all right.
Most people's reading goal.
Three stars.
It could use a refresh and a simplicity pass on the like UI UX front, but it's not like it's that complex. Once you actually...
I don't know why you keep saying that.
It's not. Once you're in town, like you want to go into a building, you click on the building. Oh, yeah. I want archers? I click on the building for archers.
Oh, I was trying
archers.
To click on the dirt.
Recruit them. Like, it's not that... It's not... This is not rocket science.
You went to Oxford.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots. What? The music?
No. I was just going to say, like, I could really forgive a lot of the issues I had if the tutorial had pop-up windows. had pop-up windows like modern games have, where it's like, click here to do this, and then it demonstrates, or it forces you. It's like, hey, you have to do this to progress, and then...
I do think that's a huge age issue that we don't... I mean, we talk about it a lot because we talk about old games, but I do think that's one of those like specific things that when games teach you as they go along, they automatically and in game, not out of game, they automatically are going to age a lot better because somebody else can in the future can just pick it up and like figure it out. And yes, there was sort of an aesthetic and a vibe that if you're not familiar with, it's going to feel like even more of a hurdle. So like I was at my comfort zone. Like this is literally in my sweet spot of games in terms of nostalgia and style and strategy and RPG-ish elements, and like it ticks all my boxes, but I can totally see somebody having a harder time getting into this game than they should.
Don't mistake me like moving past the music, Dustin, as I didn't like it. I actually think the music was really good. I thought it was like super on brand, like actually a good medieval sounding music, and to me that's kind of hard to pull off, and so I felt like I was at the whatever it's called, medieval times.
And I think each different town had its own, or faction had its own theme and musical, you know, whatever.
Well
and
done so, on that front.
Yeah, I thought that worked. If you like King Arathia, whatever, Kingdoms, I don't know. The game received two expansion packs and even got an HD version of the game in 2015, although fans don't like the HD version because reasons.
Of course. Because they're toxic.
Masculinity.
Because they're toxic masculinity. They really, it's like a cult following, and they really love this game. And if you have any, they're going to kill us if they hear about our episode. So
the
don't
fans?
Post it on Reddit.
Oh, no, I don't
like,
think,
don't.
I mean, fans love this game because it's an amazing game, but they're not so rabid that, like, they're not any more rabid than any other fans. There is a reason that Nolan doesn't post his address, though. Because arson.
Anyways, it's super easy to get your hands on. The HD version is on Steam. The complete version is on GOG for under $10. I think there's even a mobile version, which is probably a no, don't do.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Can't read the text that small. So if you want to get your hands on a copy, you can still very easily do so. And, hey, it plays on modern PCs. So there's a thing.
That is a big thing that we didn't really mention.
That's huge. Old PC games that have had enough love to still have a following and be accessible, that's always a good sign that there's people still willing to play money to go back and play a game that they lost a long time ago.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Kenny, you're the fanboy, so you go first.
I mean, fanboy is strong. It's not like this is my favorite game of all time, but it's a great game that if you put in time and play, you're going to love, or you ought to. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to even talk to Nolan because he's just so clearly in left field and wrong and couldn't even tutorial.
You're going to try to talk to me.
I'm just going to talk to Dustin.
I feel like
you're somewhere in the middle. And this game's amazing and absolutely needs New Game Plus status. So let me just say, Dustin, you realize it has a little bit of lift.
Amazing.
You realize that it's not perfect, but you also realize that it's emblematic of a really important era of gaming and is one of the best turn-based strategy games, RPG-style strategy games that came out of the late 90s. And you felt, the more you learned it and the more you played the game, that you were having a good time and could absolutely fall into a hole of playing more. You were impressed with the visuals and the sound quality, and you respect the fans. And I think all of those things together are going to let you know to make the right choice so that you, like me, can give this game New Game Plus status. The end.
That is one yes. Now, Nolan, you, of course, go next. But you speak to me, too.
Oh, yeah, okay. The opposite of what Kenny just said. You don't respect the fans, like me. Because what does that even mean? Don't put that on me. I'm playing a game that's 15 years old or older, and this is what it was like. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to read a book in order to get past a tutorial and then, invest some time into the faction thing was cool, done well. And I think you agree with that. Like, when that's easy to mess up, but the fact that they had that many factions and they're all unique and all had their own style, like the replayability's through the roof. But you're not going to play it once. So like, no. The average person coming back to an old game won't want to play it. I don't know what else to tell you. I think I already know what you're going to say. So
do you say no?
You're not going to play it once because you're going to play it like a dozen times then some.
Nolan, so do you say no? Just to be clear.
Let me think.
Let me think.
No, it's a no for me.
Okay,
dog.
So that's one yes, one no. So just to be clear with both of you, from the start of this episode to right now, I am not in the middle. I have made my mind up.
Yeah, I thought so.
And this game has an extreme learning curve. One of the steeper ones. The premise of the three pillars is basic, but the layers there are somewhat endless. However, after playing for a week, it is emblematic of a really important time in gaming is one of the best turn-based strategies in the late 90s. And the more that I played it, the more that I enjoyed it. And it's a game that I would love all the more to watch someone play, but I even found joy in playing it this week. It is among, if not one of the best of its kind. It's beautiful, deep, and endless replayability once you get to know what the game is like and how to play it. So I certainly give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
What a catfish.
I was so scared there for a second, too, because he threw a however, and I thought you were about to turn it negative, and I...
Which means Heroes of Might and Magic 3 is... New Game Plus certified.
I literally have both my fists up in the air right now in victory.
And all the fanboys and gals can celebrate and Nolan can fume.
I don't even care, honestly.
We had many people write in this week. Macaulay McCulkin said, spoiler alert, this is massive. Do you laugh at his name every time?
Every time.
This is a massively nostalgic title for me. Even though I don't know anything about the story, what's in Aerithia, I've never even touched a campaign in any of the titles, and frankly, don't care. I still played weeks worth of 4v4 hot seat games growing up with my brothers and neighborhood friends, usually in a solidly united co-op struggle against the pretty brain dead, but on the other hand, blatantly cheating AI. The game is beautifully balanced. The graphics are in the spectrum of tolerable to charming. And in the countless hours of gameplay, you rarely notice any annoying repetition of the splendid music soundtrack or always fun sound effects. Hope you guys and the community enjoyed your potentially pretty long time with Heroes 3 and someone managed to dig up that grail.
No grails here. No grails here.
No grails here.
I got that grail.
You got the grail?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, like it. The grail's the just at the end of the tutorial. It's not far into the game. I mean, like, you can find it in actual, like, game as well. But that's how the tutorial ends.
Cecil said, when Heroes 3 was announced as this week's game, I knew immediately I would have to comment on it, as it is one of the keystone games that I grew up with. Music, visuals, animations, all of it were top-tier material. The themes of each faction are incredibly well realized, even if the balance can be rather off. The story is pretty basic and easy to get into, but the lore is just amazing if you care to dig into it. What impressed me most on revisiting the game is how the difficulty is well curved, with the first few campaigns letting you get your head around all the mechanics of the game before ratcheting it up to a proper challenge at the end. While I was worried about the time investment, this is one of those games, large scope games, that I can actually still recommend even with busier schedules.
Interesting that both one of them said it was not balanced and the other one said it was very well balanced.
I think from my research is that at face value, it's balanced. But if you know how to, I don't know, min-max or take advantage of some of the unit's capabilities, that you can do some pretty ridiculous things.
I think Necropolis, that's a pretty good summary of it.
Jake said, by the way, I tried not to edit heavily any of these reviews because all three of these guys that I'm going to read their reviews really enjoyed the game. But Jake in particular, I really try to leave as much as possible. He said, I'll try to keep this email brief. He did not, but but I have to say, I was so excited when I heard this was the game of the week. I submitted it in multiple Patreon pools and it gets drawn on a random week, which is awesome. So I love the Heroes of Might and Magic series. The core concept is incredibly fun and addicting. Where this game really shines is gameplay. It's multifaceted, addicting, and very well balanced. It particularly shines in multiplayer. And months of my life were spent playing hot seat campaigns with brothers and friends. What I particularly loved was finding ways to combo spells and character abilities with creature abilities. I hope both Dustin and Nolan got a chance to really give it a try, as only an hour or two won't really do it justice. I firmly believe that this game is the epitome of a New Game Plus worthy strategy game and hope the group feels the same. I'm certain that Kenny will.
With that,
I want to end with a question. Dustin, if you only read one thing, please read this. What was your favorite castle or civilization to play as?
The default castle one.
Because that's the only one you really played?
Yes.
Kenny?
I didn't get as much chance this week to play numerous ones, so I'm pulling a little bit from memory and a little bit from just sort of theory of what I actually like. I played mostly Castle this week because that was the campaign I spent time in. But I think the tower segment, the human, but with more of the range and magic focus, I may be getting some of my terminology incorrect there. But I think that would be my go-to jam long term. Though there's a few I'd really have to explore that I didn't get to this week.
I primarily played Castle as well because, again, campaign, but Rampart was the one that I liked far beyond the others. It was well-balanced for me personally, like how I like to play, and I liked the fantasy aesthetic. It was the one, it's elves and dwarves. It has really good elf ranged units, and in this game, I don't want to get close to anybody, so I'm just kind of hanging back and trying to shoot from afar. So those were the three main messages. There are a few others that wrote in. Antonin said Heroes 3 was just one of those perfect games. Better get new game plus status, and I expect a very lengthy episode of Kenny gushing about the game. And then Garlisle said Heroes of Might and Magic was one of the several key bonding games with his now best friend Cecil, who I read earlier. While I never took to it as much as he did, this is one of the few games that tried to mix both small RPG clashes and grander strategies, and it actually succeeded. And Garlisle, not only did Kenny agree with you, but I did too. Nolan did as well. And so this game is new game plus status. Whatever. But for now, we're going to have to put aside this incredibly complex, but new game plus status turn-based strategy game to the side as we randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. And we might all be locked in our house, so it better pull a good one.
I know, right?
That's true.
Randomizing now. We're going to be playing a side-scrolling action game released by Sammy Corporation for the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, in 1990, where the player takes control of one of two ninjas who are tasked at thwarting an alien invasion.
Sounds awesome.
Ninjas and aliens.
It is called Ninja Crusaders.
No.
I have a couple of fond ninja-based NES games in my memory.
Ninja Gaiden?
This isn't one of them, but there's at least a lot of potential there. We'll see.
I thought you were going to say you have a few ninja-based memories or like experiences in your life.
I have a few experiences with ninjas and aliens. And
find a copy of Ninja Crusaders for the NES and play it along with us this week.
There's a New Game Plus Discord. We're in there, and so our just go to ngppodcast.com and click join us in Discord, and we'll see you there.
It's a great place to tell Nolan how wrong he was about the game of the week.
It is.
Nolan, do you want to stay with that take? Is that a good one?
Yeah,
for
that's
you?
A good take. And okay, please stop by and give me all the hate.
All right.
Hey, big thanks to Cooper for jumping on the support bandwagon of New Game Plus. Great thing about podcasts is that when you are stuck at home, at least if they're about old video games, it's something you can listen to all the time. So maybe especially in this season, we'd love to have your support. And as always, thanks to our producer level supporters, who are absolutely some of the best people in the world. Ben, Dear Baby, Garlisle, Corey, Maxima, Shauna, Zach, and Zion, you guys go above and beyond supporting us, and we're so thankful.
You can always find us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. The links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice and subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. While you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Ninja Crusaders. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And this has been New Game Plus. One thing I know for sure, everyone's about to find out. Should we end the episode there?
Yep.
All right, gameplay.